Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Mullins wondering if they have to snap the ball again. And they don't have to snap the ball again. It is over in Minnesota. The Vikings throttle the Texans 34-7. Houston takes its first loss of the year and gets back into the division next week with a home date against the Jaguars.
Damn, I don't like that. Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio. You can hear that live right here on Sports Radio 610. I don't love the word reason or the fact that he could use the word throttle and be 100% correct. But yes, Texans get throttled 34-7 in Minnesota, U.S. Bank Stadium. This is In the Loop. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, and you got myself, Reginald Atitula. Rock with you on a reaction Monday, and unfortunately, the reaction is not good. John, it is not a good one. And we'll talk about all the things that happened during the course of this game. You talk along with us. Text in on the text line, 713-572-4610. You can catch us on the Odyssey app, where you could catch the game as well yesterday if you wanted to. I know Fig was doing a little bit of that, and some of that audio will come up in the course of this segment. It was not a fun time had by your Houston Texans falling to 2-1, getting their first loss of the season. In fact, it is my first Texans loss reaction Monday.
So it's not your fault.
I guess not. I personally was under the impression that the Texans always won. That was all I had experienced. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And it felt like there's various reasons why we could point to or that we could point to when it comes to a Texans loss. But one of the main ones is this thing that just kept happening. And it's a thing that we kind of come to in some ways expect in some ways, but not exactly like this. So if you could give me here a Fig, and you know where I'm going to, right? One of these plays, because this man and his cohorts really, really had a lot of us upset and really embarrassed on yesterday.
Here's the give, and they blow the play dead. Looks like a false start on the Texans. Let's find out who.
Before the snap, false start, offense number 78. It's a 5-yard penalty.
He got it out of the way early. Laramie Tunsil.
It's every week, though. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl player. There's no excuse for that. None.
Back to the 15 we go.
Preach, Andre. Look, you just said it, Reggie. Oh, man, I can feel the blood boiling, Figgy.
11 penalties, 88 yards for the Texans overall.
I'm about to say, did somebody throw a pin or something in there?
I think he slammed the table. Maybe he threw something. I don't know.
I mean, he had Seth out here just spewing kolache all over people because he was mad. It was an embarrassment when it came to the execution of keeping like the detail or the lack of detail orientedness when it came to getting lined up, not jumping off sides, like just the basic pre-snap penalties that Tunsil and the rest of this offensive line kept coming with. Was infuriating.
Infuriating was across the board, but let's not bury the lead here. Infuriating was the way they played Justin Jefferson. We'll get into that. The offensive line in general, as you just mentioned, we'll get more into that. Some of the play calling and the offense, we'll get into that. But I don't want to bury the lead here. I'm tired of having fun and a good laugh with Laramie Tunsil. I'm just tired of having, he does that, target on his back, all that stuff. Let me just put it right here. And let's be very clear about this. Laramie Tunsil is a liability. Flat out.
It's every week, though.
He is a liability. And he needs to go back to doing what he does best, sitting out.
Yeesh.
He needs to go back to doing what he does best, that's sitting out. Now, let's rest assured here. He's not going to be benched because, you know, not even as a message, because this is the NFL, and I'm not sure D'Amico Ryans would do that. But what would Mike Tomlin do? What would Bill Belichick do?
Oh, Bill Belichick might have signed a pink slip.
Yes. What would Dan Campbell do? Laramie Tunsil needs to pull his head, man. And I know I'm trying to, you know, I'm putting it all on him. A lot of it was on him. It started out from the very first drive. And then all throughout, and every time they converted a third down. Oh, sorry, bring back. Four penalties in a row. Sorry. When you're down, what was it, first and a third and four? Benching him might be the only thing that resonates with Laramie Tunsil. He's killing this team.
Benching him how?
Even like, just for mean? A message. Even just don't start the game. Look, it's not going to happen because I don't think DeMeco has it in him. But that, other coaches would. Ooh. Other coaches would.
That's not. I don't think that would happen. Like I don't think he. I think he's going to start every game. But remember what happened to Petrie last year, mm-hmm. where eventually I think in the second half or something like that, he was benched. He got benched during the game.
Reggie, let me say one more thing.
I think something like that probably should happen.
Let me say
a bad game.
Let me say one more thing because I know you kind of went ooh when I said he should be benched, even just for a message, even just not starting a game or something. Let's not forget this. Laremy Tunsil is the highest paid player on this team.
$25 million.
He is the highest paid player on this team. That is ridiculous. And I'm saying it right now. I'm not going to have any more good laughs about Laremy Tunsil's and false starts if they win a game. Ah ha ha! He had a false start. Nah, man. Nah. No,
It's every week.
It's every week. And people, you know, and when he said this, it just sent me off. He told Aaron Wilson, I want people to understand we all have to be on the same communication. I'll take accountability because they're calling my name, but it takes all of us. Dude, when you say I'll take accountability, but you're not taking accountability. You're the highest paid player on the team. You're the veteran left tackle.
You got to kill
your drive.
You got to see on your chest, my man.
I'm telling you, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I didn't want to spring it on you before the show because I want a real reaction from both you and Figgy and from our listeners, 713-572-4610. They got to do something, man. They got to do something with this guy.
Yeah, man, and this is the thing. Is like I had a little bit of a cackle during the course of the game because I was like, yo, man, that's a $25 million player right now. You have invested a lot in the offensive line. And that, I mean, without even talking about like the capabilities, right? Because it's kind of insane in some ways that you've gotten to a point where you look at a guy and you go, yeah, we're just giving up on him being incredible in the run game,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's already a thing that you've already done with Laremy Tunsil. You're like, all right, he can pass block. The run game is not necessarily there, but that's fine,
mm-hmm.
right? And then on top of that, there's also the given that, man, you're going to get a false start or two in the course of this game. And the reason why we had to start here, right, and it's not just Tunsil. Tunsil just, he is the lightning rod because it's a constant issue. Tytus Howard had his issues.
Sure.
Juice Scruggs had a nod types thing. It is because, like, this team offensively, in this game, one thing that you could not do against the Minnesota Vikings was allow them to win the game script battle. What am I meaning when I say that, right? If you allow them to play from ahead, they did, you know, they could continue to, they could run the ball. They could continue to do the things that they do. They could continue to send pressure mm-hmm. against you offensively. All those things happen. And unfortunately, early on, you had an interception. And then once you went down and drove, Kyami Fairbairn did something that felt impossible, which is missing a field goal. All right, cool. You had probably three drives in a row before you ended the half that were punt, 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 and all of them you had penalty yards on them because your drives are stalling, mm-hmm. right? This is a team in the Texans that getting into the end zone has been a little bit of an issue this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we could point to offensive things, and we'll talk about that. But penalties have stalled drives. Like this, you are actively shooting this team in the foot in what is supposed to be a strength for this team.
Yes.
When it comes to the offense, even when the team was trying to make up for some of those instances. On Thursday, I believe, we played some audio from DeMeco Ryans as he had spoken on Wednesday of last mm-hmm. week. And one of the questions he was asked about third and long, and he's like, hey, man, you know, guy can't stay getting third and longs. And I know that in that moment, in response to the audio, we kind of were like, yeah, obvious. But you saw it, right? They were in third and long. Time and time and time again, and even when you had instances where your explosive offense, your capabilities with your wide receivers were able to get, you know, you find Tank, you find Nico, those are also being negated. Like, I don't know how you can be successful if at the very start of a play you're not starting on the right foot, which is the easy thing of lining up and looking to your right and or looking to your left if you were talking about Tyus Howard and making sure that you're aligned. Or hell, let's get like wide receivers. Let's talk to the offense or to the line judge. Like, hey, am I on? In fact, if you could, Figgy, Tytus Howard was actually talking about this. Like after the game, he was asked about the illegal formation penalties, of which there were many in this game.
Yeah, we had one called the first 2 weeks. So, I mean, we line up the same way we lined up the first 2 weeks tonight, and then it was just some reason tonight they were like, all right, we're just going to call them. But it was just inconsistent.
What were they saying it was?
Same guy be up further on the line. I mean, but then again, the next play, you'll be in the same spot, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're good. So, like, I mean, I don't know. That's tough. That's tough. So, I mean, I just moved up further as I could, and then I looked at the guy, and he was like, are you good? So I was like, I mean, I'm lined up even with the center now. So, I mean, if that's what I got to do. I got to do it. But, I mean, definitely something that – I mean, we're going to have to work with the NFL with, like, because, I mean, it's a problem all around the league for all tackles, having to move up so far in the line of scrimmage. And then it becomes a problem on the road games when you're on silent count and then guys getting out the ball before you get a can because you're so far up. So it's just something you got to work on.
Pretty cool explanation there. Let me tell you why it doesn't resonate with me at all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why it doesn't resonate with me at all. All right? They have been emphasizing this since training camp. Oh, that's right. Laremy Tunsil doesn't do training camp.
All right.
I'm serious.
I mean,
I'm serious.
Fair.
Oh, yeah, they've been emphasizing this since training camp. They've been working on all this since training camp. Who doesn't practice at training camp? Laremy Tunsil. Let me give you some numbers that backed up what you just talked about. You talked about third down. The Texans had 14 third down plays yesterday. 13 of them, 13 out of 14 were third and seven or longer. Why? Penalties. You say he's the lightning rod. He also has the most. And let me give you some examples on that. The Texans are the third most penalized team in the NFL today. No team has more pre-snap penalties than the Texans. Tunsil is the most penalized player in the NFL by a long shot. He's been penalized 10 times, and this is all according to Football Database. The next most individually, 5. They are all pre-snap penalties. He's got 7 false starts, and 3 misalignments, illegal formation.
And this is like, these penalties aren't the ones that happen in the course of play. These aren't, right. Man, I grabbed at the wrong place and the technique kind of just got a little light on me because I was tired or what have you. This is before a play starts.
Yes.
And I hear Titus Howard on the frustration of the lack of consistency of calling things. We all have talked about how the NFL and officials are not always great about these things, right? I can understand the frustration there. And ultimately, that leads to you having a lineup right on the line and having, defensive lineman have a little bit of an edge. I understand the frustration there. But that's what you got to do, because the thing that I noted, and I think I wrote this down when in the third quarter, Super Bowl teams don't hurt themselves in this way, right? Especially in the places where, if you were talking about the AFC South and just trying to win a division, particularly this AFC South that kind of stinks, that's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man. There's wiggle room. There's margin for error. When we talk about playing amongst the best in the league, which is the place that this team clearly wants to be, and a place that a lot of people have talked about them being.
Yeah.
When you're in there, the margins are razor thin. And you know what's not razor thin? 88 penalty yards.
Yeah.
11 penalties. Killing drive upon drive, especially early on in the game when you need to have an advantage in the game script to put pressure on the Vikings, to put pressure on Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold. These are the things that you can't do. And so, like, a championship mentality is, all right, man, like, I understand. It's not fun to have to, like, try and get back there. And it's going to be tough to go get that defensive end as he's rushing. But what I can't afford to do is give them 5 yards immediately before they even do anything.
And you can't afford to just let Laremy Tunsil keep on keeping on. And, again, look, trust me, it's not all Laremy Tunsil, but it starts with Laremy Tunsil.
As the highest paid,
it starts with him.
All those.
Yeah, and D'Amico Ryans after the game was talking about, you know, we got to man up and do what you're supposed to do. So basically he's saying we got to send a message, we got to set an example, a better example, and be more accountable. Well, there's no better way to start than with that guy. I mean, there's absolutely no. I mean, he frustrated me, as you can probably tell, to no end, because he is the highest paid. He is the left tackle. He's a captain. He's been missing training camp. It's going to come back and bite you, and it did. I mean, if you want to send a message, I'm going to say it again. You have to do something with Laremy Tunsil. If you're going to send a message to the entire team, start with that guy.
And the thing that I have questions about when it comes to D'Amico is, like, how does D'Amico then, I understand the idea of, like, sending the message. How does he deal with this? Because he is a defensive coach, but not only is he a defensive-minded head coach, he actively has hands in the defense.
Yeah.
There's only so many hours in the day, and so I think it is fair to assume he didn't get to talk to that offensive side that much. Like, how easy is it to then walk into that offensive room and, you know, start laying down the law? He's still the head man, right? Yeah. I think he still has the authority that that position conveys. Mm-hmm. I just wonder how easy is it for him to go in and have those kind of conversations on that side of the football? Because I think at that point, we are starting to point to, hey, man, Bobby Slowik is the captain of the offense, yeah, right? Like, this is his offense because of that.
We'll definitely get into that.
Because of that dynamic, right? Like, how does the authority structure, how does the power structure then filter down and affect that? Mm-hmm. I think you're pointing to the idea, hey, man, Blake Fisher might need to get some games here, right? You have a dude who
you got a guy ready,
drafted highly.
Oh, you got a guy that went to training camp.
Right.
You got a guy that went to training camp and worked with the first team.
Is it as simple as, hey, Laremy Tunsil doesn't play? Because are you at that point hurting yourself in a different way because you're putting in a less capable player?
If you're talking about messaging, there's no better message. And Reggie, you're asking, you're talking about, well, how do you find time? You know, it could be maybe a little difficult. I don't think it's difficult at all. You're the head coach.
How would you do this if you was the head coach?
I would say you're not starting against Jacksonville.
That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot, man.
Period. Now, you can't go the entire season without Laremy Tunsil. Let's be honest. Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing in the messaging, mm-hmm, right? There's on the 281, they're like, bench Tunsil for a half. I don't know that you can go out in the beginning of this and say bench him for a half. Like, I do wonder how useful a move like that is, a symbolic move is, when it is very obvious that it's symbolic. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if it would necessarily be that obvious to be symbolic. Yes, it is a message, but it's more meaty. There's more meat on the bone than messaging when you are, because you're telling the entire team, Laremy Tunsil just got benched. He ain't starting against Jacksonville. Now, Blake Fisher plays well, he goes in. Someone gets hurt, maybe Laremy Tunsil comes in. But you don't say, hey, we're going to bring you in after two series, because then there's no message. Now, maybe you personally are saying something among your coaching staff, like, hey, you better have a good week of practice, and you might play, you might not. And then if he has a good week practice and he becomes that guy, then he comes back and it's Buffalo the next week, right? Then he can start then. But you cannot let this go.
I think they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, though.
They've given it to him.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, so if they go into this week versus Jacksonville and he's still having these same issues in the first half, I can see them in the second half going with Blake Fisher,
mm-hmm, and I actually putting him on the bench. I think that might be more effective. They're gonna give
him a chance to clean this up.
I think that might, and now where I'm kind of picking nits in this instance, yeah, but that might be a more effective, like, psychological thing is, hey, you're starting and you're not doing enough and you have to go sit down now.
I don't, because what if Wednesday, when they put the pads back on, they don't really start practicing again until Wednesday. They're just watching film today and off tomorrow. They go, Blake, you're left tackle. That message to the entire team, all of a sudden, you sit up in your seat and you go, whoa, D'Amico ain't playing. You got, again, one more time, the highest paid player on the team, the most penalized player on the team, a captain on the team, a guy that said, I take accountability, but, which is not taking accountability. You can't let that slide, man. Can't do it. Not if, especially when you're a team that thinks you got a shot.
Yeah, and especially with a team that believe so much in process,
mm-hmm,
right? It's results is
it's
one
great
thing,
point,
but they believe so much in process. Yes. And one of the things that really got under my skin, there was a couple of words that I wanted to say there that I ultimately chose better, but got under my skin was that there was no getting better in the course of this,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, you made a mistake and mistakes happen, right? And if you're process oriented, you go, mistakes happen, but what do we then do to fix it? Can't keep making the same mistake over and over. That is something that happened over the course of this game. That is something that has happened over the course of this short season. And unfortunately for Laremy Tunsil himself, that is the same thing that has happened over the course of his career.
Yeah.
And at some point, that needs to shift. I think for me, that's the easy part for me to say. The hard part is, how do you actually make it happen? And that is where D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowik, they have to then step in and figure out the answer there. Because if you want to go the places that you want to go, That immediately needs to be fixed because that is the foundation.
Yeah.
Offensive line and getting yourself set to be able to go and execute a play, that's a foundation. And right now the foundation is cracked. So there you go. That's how we're starting Reaction Monday here in the
And we're off.
Sports Radio 610. hey, man, the expectations come with more responsibility, right? And now the responsibility was clearly dropped in a 34-7 whooping that the Texans took versus the Vikings yesterday. You heard that here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we need to have a Bobby Slowick conversation just about the offense in general. Yes, the offensive line did not do what they needed to do, just getting themselves ready. Penalties were blowing up offensive possessions. But I think there's more things to be had underneath the surface when it comes to this offense. Let's talk about all that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, Reaction Monday, not a happy one. Still, thanks to Shoppers John Deere for giving us the opportunity to do this. John getting his rocks off early when it comes to Laramie Tunsil in particular, but the penalties in general. And I think the law firm of Lopez, Fig, and Atitula have come to a decision. Lopez, Atitula, and Fig is what I said. I like the punch of Fig at the end. Lopez, Atitula, and Fig. It's one of two decisions, right? It's just straight up the top, Tunsil gets benched, or it's Laramie Tunsil, you are taking every single snap. We're taking away your veteran days. You don't get to relax no more. You got to put in work to get yourself together. You're taking all the snaps. I mean, that'll hurt for development of your other guys, but hey, man, you need to get in all the work possible. All those luxuries, hey, maybe even strip you of your captaincy. I know that that's tough because that was voted on by the players, but as of right now, you're not exhibiting the qualities of a captain, right? So those are the two options that we have put up, and I'm sure you can determine which one was put up by myself and which one was put up by John Lopez after our conversation.
I came in hot, Figgy.
Yeah. He had that fire.
I'm just sick and tired of it, as people like to say. And some people, just real quick, and we'll get into this offense because it does tie in with the offense. Some people, like our lovely program director, I don't think he's ever been called lovely, Parker came in during the break and was saying, well, no, kind of what you're talking about. And also, well, he just, and some texters are saying this, well, he just appreciates sitting out. Okay, well, if he says, you know, no big deal, then you have your answer. You have your answer about Laramie Tunsil and how he really works and what drives him and all that. So I we'll get back to this because I've just been all night, all morning. And then when I saw his quote, I was like, all right, I'm going in on this cat. I mean, he can squish me like a grape if he wants to. He can get mad if he wants. I hope he does get mad. Hope he does get mad because that's what needs to get him going.
So we transition from that to an offense in general that was a little lackluster. We set this up as the possibility for this game proved as a test for your Texans, particularly offensively, and that test did not seem like it was passed on offense. Now, of course, a large part of this was you had a lot of penalties that put them in bad situations, but also you had stuff like this.
Split back, CJ in the gun. CJ with pressure. Out to the right. He's going to be sacked by Van Ginkel. Back at the 18-yard line.
Yep, and that basically does it.
Yep.
You just want to get to halftime now. Let the clock run out and just go in and press the restart button.
Yeah.
And that highlighted for me one of the issues that we've seen with Bobby Slowick. But I think, look, man, there's an acknowledgement. Bobby Slowick is very talented at what he does. He's a fantastic young coordinator that a lot of people have some interest in for bigger and better things. But with that being the case, like, I feel like we need a Bobby Slowick conversation because one of the things that obviously happened, I made the decision and the smart one, I believe, to come up to the studio and watch the game with the five fellas that do pre and post game here because I would rather sit and watch a game around some former players and get some of their perspectives. And one of the things that jumped off the screen and leapt out of Clint Sterner's heart was, hey, man, this blocking scheme doesn't make sense, right? Like, very often, quite a few times you had the likes of Cade Stover or Dalton Schultz one up with a defensive end. Oftentimes their best defensive end, Jonathan Grenard, you're familiar with him.
Oof.
And it went just the way that you would expect. A second year tight end or just generally dudes that are not like maulers at tight end like they're Rob Gronkowski up here with defensive ends. And it kept happening again with the same thing we're talking about with the pass blocking, right? Or not pass block, with the penalties. It kept happening over the course of the game, which meant which made it more evident that this was not just, hey, a problem in setting protection like I had, you know, been concerned about last week.
Yeah.
This was a decision on how they decided to block it, and it pointed to there might be some issues when it comes to Bobby Slowick and his inexperience that are showing themselves against more experienced defense or defensive coordinators.
Yeah, the offensive line scheme, the blocking scheme with the tight ends at fullback and everything, it really doesn't have a lot to do. It has some, of course, with Chris Strasser, the offensive line coach. That's Bobby Slowick's scheme. Like, the scheme is Bobby Slowick's. How they're going to block things up. You know, Strasser is more the nuts and bolts, let's do this. Fix it one way or another.
Although, hey, Chris Strasser, you're
no, he's not off the hook.
Your tackles are jumping off sides and not lining up right.
But yes, exactly. You know, Bobby Slowick bought the groceries of this scheme. You know, he's the guy that bought the groceries. And the reason I think we have to have this conversation and are having this conversation about this offense is not just like they got blown up, but he has, I mean, like, what else do you want, Bobby? You spent $188 million on the offensive line. You know, you got $188 million invested in the offensive line. Oh, okay, how about a receiver? Okay, we'll get you Stephon Diggs. Okay, how about extending Nico so he's happy? Okay, we'll extend Nico. All right, how about a running back, a really big-time, badass running back? You got it.
Injured in this.
Well, sure.
Not available.
Sure, but we got you Joe Mixon, buddy. So he's got $188 million on the offense, offensive line, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins extended, Joe Mixon. So, yes. Bobby Slowick, you got all the groceries. It's your scheme. Let's make it work.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that we talked about on Friday is I felt like quick game would have been really helpful in trying to neutralize that that pass rush. And when they did deploy it, it felt like it was useful, right? You were able to get guys out in space, Nico Collins out in space.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there was one that was thrown to Xavier Hutchinson that he ultimately didn't catch, but I felt like there was things like that I don't know was fully utilized early enough. Now, to be fair, in that point as well, you had the defensive ends just getting their hands up and not batting balls down that kind of negated some of those things. But that all of that still stemmed from, in my estimation, starting at the foundation, your offensive line, whether it was through penalties or just like not being set up to pass block, right, where you have a possession where Dalton Schultz is on the left side blocking Jonathan Grenard by his lonesome, and then you have three linemen almost stuck on a defensive tackle. Like, it feels like that.
Yeah.
The way that you went about the primary game planning of this was set up incorrectly, and so you did not give yourself the maximum opportunity to be right in the course of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And when you couple, you know, what they did on the offensive line and the pre-snap penalties with what you just mentioned, that's how you get 13 out of 14 third downs were third and seven or longer. Now, that is certainly understandable that you're going to struggle, but 13 out of 14, that points to Bobby, too. You got to have something. Now, listen, the other thing that they did in game is they moved Stephon Gilmore with Nico Collins. I don't know if Nico Collins is going to be the number one wide receiver all year long, but the Vikings thought he was. So that's how Stephon Diggs got 10 catches, and that's how. But you have to be able to exploit that when you see it in game. Oh, wow. You know, they're traveling Stephon a lot, not exclusively, but a lot. With Nico Collins, that's how you got to make the adjustment if you're Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, and I, in the course of this, I do wonder if something that's going to pop up more over time is some play action. I know that there's some people that are like, oh, the run game isn't all that good. And I don't, over time, we found that, mm-hmm. Hey, man, the use of play action is going to be useful regardless of if you run the ball effectively or not. Because what it does is it freezes those linebackers for a split second. And especially with the wide receiving core that you have, giving C.J. Stroud an opportunity to just have a little bit of a split second, a little bit of space in that middle of the field. And I just wonder if that could have been utilized more. And now that I'm just going into full speculation, second guessing. But one thing that did become, I felt, was at least very evident without getting too far into the X's and O's of it, was there was a disparity when it came to the coaching acumen, or maybe just like on this day without talking about the full strength of it. Brian Flores earned himself some looks when it comes to, hey, man, come back around and be a head coach again. And I think that was an interesting juxtaposition to Bobby Slowick, who was Golden Boy his past coaching search, even though he ultimately decided to come back. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that some of this is the reasons why he wants more opportunity to work on it. However, it's going to need to show itself over the course of this season that you are working on it and you're getting better.
Make no mistake about it. You know, as much as this was a frustrating game and we're really just kind of getting into the frustrations, the Vikings are the real deal and Brian Flores is the real deal.
But that's
no excuse if you think you're the real deal.
That's again.
Yeah.
These are the waters that you are now playing.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like we have moved from the wading part of the pool to 6 feet deep. Right? Can you swim? And we're seeing the various ways in which the Texans can swim a little. They swim like me. Right. Like I will be alive. I'm not moving around too fast. Right. Like you will never confuse me with Michael Phelps. But right now, as of this moment. Right. It is just enough to tread water, just enough to keep yourself.
And that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And let's not forget this either. When you talk about scheme and blocking schemes and all that, CJ Stroud is on pace to be sacked 56 times this year. Let me say that again. 56 times he's on pace to be. That is not good.
Okay.
That is not good. That is how you get a quarterback hurt or beat up.
So, I think that those are things that we're starting to see when it comes to Bobby Slowik. And I do want to see that get significant, and not only want to, needs to.
Yeah.
It needs to, again, for the level of team, the caliber of team that you anticipate this being. Those things, you're going to be facing off against defenses of this caliber. You need to be able to set your protection to have a baseline for what you're doing. You need to be able to see the defense, and even though they pose challenges, you need to be able to find ways to get those things executed. And unfortunately, as of right now, you haven't done that. Bobby, we want to see it. And that's on top of the fact that, and look, I don't know how much this was going to happen anyways. We know the running game, especially run blocking, has not been up to the task or up to the level that we would hope. But there was frequently times where the Texans were getting hit behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage to no end, right? The Texans ground game struggled to create space from scrimmage. 8 of 11 design runs, ball carriers were contacted behind the line of scrimmage in this game.
Not
what you want. All right, man. It's In the Loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's step back just a little bit and do our question of the day here on this Reaction Monday. How do you typically handle a bad loss? Not just a loss. I know that we've seen a few of those, but like a bad loss like this one, this 34-7 loss against Minnesota. 713-572-4610. Let us know how you handle a bad loss. We'll discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yep, we're in here, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, on a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday. Unfortunately, that reaction is to a 34-7 drubbing for your Texans at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings, pushing them to 2-1, still atop the AFC South. But it was not a fun game to have to watch, especially because, and we were talking about this in the break, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of, you didn't even give yourself a chance to compete with the team. You had a chance to compete with that team 100%.
No, you got run out of the stadium.
And I thought that all the things we talked about last week were just about the ways in which the competition of this game could happen, right? The defense and the offense and all those things. And ultimately, you didn't even give yourself a chance to compete in this game behind just being messy, having all these penalties. And so that leads us to the question of the day, because that was indeed an embarrassing and bad loss. What do you do after a bad loss? How do you handle a bad loss? 713-572-4610. That definitely led us to getting the text that was JJ should replace Laremy Tunsil.
Okay, that's how you handle it.
Which is it immediately turned into JJ Watt, or is it just humor? I feel like humor is one of those things for some folks that they're just like, I'm going to lean into the laughter of it to keep myself from crying.
Yeah, that's one way. A lot of people do it that way, but I like the fact that you frame this question of the day as a bad loss. Like a lot of times, like if my squad loses, I might even do that. But a lot of times I'm just like, you know, sort of a shoulder shrug, you know, well, you know, it was a good game, it was a bad game, whatever. But if it's a bad loss, like this one was, an embarrassing loss, well, if you haven't picked up on it already, I might get a little bit agitated at what I feel are the worst aspects of that game, like the no excuses, especially at the NFL level, college level to a degree, but at the NFL level, like it, I get so frustrated that a lot of times this is how I handled yesterday's. We're watching the game. I get a little frustrated. I do the social media thing, and then I just went and did something else. I just go do something totally not related. You know,
I like how many of these people are apparently coaching staff or coaches on the staff for the Texans and abroad or various other teams, because quite a few people are in the figure out what caused it. Has to be ongoing. How we can eliminate the cause and those types of things, right? Like, hey, watch the tape and burn it. We've seen a few of those, and I'm like, oh, yeah, as
that's
fans,
what y'all do
as fans. I am intrigued by that person.
If I wasn't working in this field, I usually cut the game off during the game when it's a complete embarrassment.
Yeah.
And won't watch ESPN until the next.
That's another one.
We're just hiding myself from sports.
I don't need to see the highlights from this game. And then that's the perfect time for ESPN to break your team down.
Yeah.
Because whenever you win big, they don't even
bring you up. Oh, yeah.
They don't bring it up. You be like, where are the highlights for my team?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you lose, that's the first thing to pop up. That's the first thing. Yeah. So
it's like when you or someone in your family or someone you know gets a new car, how you start seeing that car everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when you lose, all of a sudden your team everywhere. All y'all care about this?
How about you?
For me personally, like, I'm a little bit of the, I'm trying to ignore it as much as possible, but usually because I'm such a sports sicko, it's ignoring it by watching something else. Right?
I go do something else.
So you're like, just get away from
like
sports.
Not even related. Like yesterday, I went into my office and was just piddling with some stuff that I needed to get done and answering emails. I was like, I'm out.
Yeah, because there's various people on the YouTube that have also mentioned the idea of, like Jamie said, I cope with the bad loss by making fun of Cowboys fans. Yep, you had the opportunity.
Okay.
The Ravens were putting it on them boys yesterday. They eventually kind of made it close at the end, but nah. If you wanted to go and laugh at your enemies and engage in a little bit of schadenfreude, that was available to you as well. Shout out to the 281. I like this one, which is the treat yourself method of dealing with and handling a bad loss. He said, Wingstop wings, and that ranch eases the sting on and out. Just go and buy. Like, I am going to buy some wings. Like, maybe it's not in the budget, but F the budget. Let's go get some wings.
I'm surprised no one is, or maybe I've missed it. We're getting a lot of text. Get plastered. Like, get wasted. Like, just like.
See, I can't do that.
Well, back in the day, maybe.
See, I could do it if they win big, where I'm like, all right, let me break out the victory drink.
Party time.
Yeah, I can't do it for a loss, man.
Oh, wow. Some people are just raw dogging the L. 713. I just watched and took the L.
Salute to you, man.
God bless you.
Nah, I'm cutting everything. I don't even. Honestly,
he's pulling plugs out the wall. Yeah. Get all this out of here.
Honestly, it was a couple people that came up like, man, I can't listen to y'all after a loss. I don't even blame y'all.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I don't want to listen to no sports if my team get embarrassed like that.
But games like this, you want to vent, and we're getting a lot of that.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But me personally, man, I don't even want to. It kind of throw my whole Sunday off.
It does.
Like, I don't want to watch no Sunday night football now, and then at halftime, they showing the highlights from the game where we got embarrassed. Like, nah, my day is ruined.
Apparently one of these might be lashing out. I'm making jokes. But 281 said Lopez jinxed us with that 5-0 take.
I said 4-0.
How likely is that now?
I want a jinx.
Okay. I don't know. there's still data that we need to establish. So there's a possibility that it could be a jinx. We can't say.
Somebody said they drank a 40 last night.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you.
I'd rather watch a game.
In a way, it feels like the afternoon guys do it backwards, right? For a victory, they drink Mad Dog. I feel like Mad Dog is a loss.
Yeah, that's a type drink.
Me too.
That's a penance.
That's not a victory drink.
That is a penance. That is a
Mad
loss
Dog 2020.
Drink.
Yeah. So God bless them. I guess in a way, that is a silver lining for them on this day, that they will not be chugging down some Mad Dog. God bless him. Somebody said 281 tried to watch the Strohs, but then that didn't turn out too well yesterday either. No, it did not.
You know what's crazy? So I was actually at that game yesterday.
Oh, wow, cool.
Because my wife got tickets, and I went and I was keeping up with the that's how I was listening to Andre on the call. I was listening to the game, man.
Yeah. Oh, so you didn't go all the way away either.
Yeah.
Yeah,
look
so,
at you.
Yeah, so after God, hey, I cut it off. I'm like, well, the Astros doing okay. I'm like, okay, Josh Hader about to come in. The fireman intro going. I'm like, okay, and that totally went to bleep.
This was kind of a throwback weekend, to the David Culley years or something. Texans get blown out and are embarrassed. The Astros were awesome, but I'm saying, like, back before, back in the day with the Astros, where they have a big lead and then they blow it. And then the bullpen blows it.
Yeah, it was just bad overall, man. Jordan got hurt, so I'm like, oh, man.
But that was the thing.
And
right?
they lost the game, blew the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, the game, whatever. The game is the game, man. Like that individual game out of 162, right? We can do the marathon versus sprint thing. Jordan, this close to the end of the season? Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Do you need stem cells? Do you need a leg? I got one, right? Like, I will figure this out. Modern medicine has gotten to a fantastic place, but that can't be what it is. Some people said 281 rant on Twitter. Respect it. Someone said, turned off the game, turned on my PS5 and took it out on somebody in Madden Ultimate Team.
I can see that.
The person who gets on the game and like, I will go win this game myself with the team.
I seen somebody post a score from them playing on Madden. It was like
95.
It was like 113-3. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Back in the day, way back in the day, when I had a bad loss and I was angry or upset or whatever, I would go for a long run, go for a long jog or so, you know, just kind of like
just exercise it out.
Yeah, just sweat it out, get away from it, clear your head. I did that a lot back when, you know, in my 20s and 30s, I was like, I'm out. I'll be back in a little bit and just go run or hoop or something.
Just go get some fresh air. Hooping is absolutely one of those things, especially when I was younger.
Yeah.
Right. Like as Figgy mentioned, being in the game of sports media, it kind of changes it. But when I was younger, I just, hey, let me go outside and shoot the hoop.
Yeah.
What about this one? Because this reminded me, a lot of people just sulk.
936 also went and mowed their yard, by the way.
This is from the 346. Make me impersonal. Like, you know how you just sulk? You kind of extract yourself from any human interaction. You know, like, hey, what's going on, Reggie? No answer. You know, you're just sort of like, you know, you're in your own little...
It's a day.
Yeah.
And you know the worst part about all of this is, you know, my wife don't care about the games and nothing like that, but whenever they get their ass, hey, how's the game going, babe? What's the score? I'm like, you never ask for the score. And I tell her the score, damn, they got whooped.
That's crazy.
She knew the score.
Yeah.
She knew the score.
I'm like, why are you asking about the score?
Because she knew it.
Like, I'm about to go full-blown, what's that, Bucker? Get back in the kitchen.
Wow.
Get your ass back in the kitchen asking me about the damn game. How dare you?
Yeah. Somebody said went for a drive in silence. God bless you. I used to go for drives and then, you know, the gas prices changed. And I was like, all right, maybe we should go for walks. You know what I mean? That's a little bit different.
I'm still laughing at Figgy. He reacts to losses by becoming a misogynist.
Yeah. Like, woman, just mad at everybody.
Woman, get your ass back in the kitchen.
That's crazy. A few different drinks of choice have come up. Tequila, bourbon. Shout out to all you fine folks mentioning the various things that you do. And then somebody said they cut the game off and watch a documentary. Just get your learn on.
All right.
I respect it.
All right.
Something peaceful. I imagine that some of that is just like you have like David Attenborough or somebody talking. And it's like, all right, this brings me back to level. But whatever you did, I hope that it was helpful for you on a day in which the Texans got drubbed 34-7 yesterday versus the Vikings in a game that they should have been able to compete in, but they just shot themselves
Never
in the
did.
Foot. In the leg, in the other foot, in the kneecap, just all over themselves, did not help themselves, and unfortunately fell to 2-1. But all right, it's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, you got myself. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, where apparently all you need is a little Andy Dalton to fix the Panthers, and apparently passing in the league. I'll talk about that more next.